I hope to take a subject this morning for just a brief period of time, and it's a pretty serious subject for this nation. I want to talk a little bit about reverence, or the lack thereof, called irreverence. Reverence is an attitude of deep respect with awe. And you can think in terms of veneration. In Psalm 89 and 7, it says God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Right above that in verse, starting about verse 18, it contrasts people of Acts 19 faced at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is one of three mountains. I bet you Dave has climbed it. Not yet. In the lower peninsula, Sinai Peninsula. And it is where Moses was commissioned and is where the people of God were stalled and told to approach it with reverence. And in contrast that, for ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. Well, they could not endure that which was commanded. But ye are come, in the 22nd verse, it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You see the difference? If you go back and read chapter 19 and some following chapters, you'll see we're about 2 million people gathered there at the base of Mount Sinai, and black smoke filled the plume above it, and God came down in fire, and there was great fear. Even Moses was of great fear. We've lost that fear today. That was called reverence here in verses 28 and 29 of 12th chapter of Hebrews. One can argue that we live in times where God is perhaps respected, maybe not, but surely not revered, where feelings outweigh faith, where religious devotion is practiced more like a picnic. How do we honor God in reverence? I don't have anyone in this congregation in mind, so if it burns your feet, so be it. I don't want to offend anybody. At the same time, we need to see what the Word of God is. In the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says to examine ourselves, that we be in the faith. Well, part of that examination is taking inventory of where we are, not just us as Primitive Baptists, but as a nation that was founded upon the principles of Judeo-Christian ethics. Now, what is it? Well, we honor God with dress. In Scripture, those who approach God in worship wore their best garments. past generations in your memory, most certainly in my memory, is that people had going to meeting on Sunday clothes, say wore. I know that you've seen photographs, as I have, of crowds gathering in New York, or and they all men in suits and wearing hats. And we respected each other by how we dressed. Today, how do we dress? Well, my grandmother Underwood, she and my grandfather raised me. She preached to me repeatedly I could not have underwear with holes in it. Because you might get hurt and have to be taken to the hospital, and if they find that you have holes in your underwear, that'll be disrespectful to me. She wasn't worried about her, about me. She was worried about her. She didn't want to be thought not having taken care of me. I had a recent talk with my dentist just a week or so back. I don't know how we got on this, but we always seem to be getting on something besides dentistry. Doesn't interest me too much. But I said that I always thought that we ought to wear our best when we attend worship service, even if that happens to be worn out jeans. I don't care what they are. It's just our best. I don't make judgment on anybody what they wear. That's up to you and God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And so he and I were talking about that. He said, I don't even own a suit. I thought that was interesting, a doctor who doesn't own a suit. Well, I watched Doc Martin. He only has one color suit. I said, to me, women have accepted a position of lesser respect in order to be accepted. Men too, but especially women. I said that being of my generation, I have a different take on women who wear overly sexy clothing. There was a word for those like that when I was growing up, and I'll not bring that to your attention right now, but I'll give it to you privately if you want to know. Many dress better for business function than they do for church. How do you deal with that? Reference is something we deal with speech. In the past, we approached God with prayer, singing, preaching, with awe and respect. I can remember attending this church back in the 50s. Yeah, I go that far back. And you saw everybody there. Especially I like, it's no longer a custom, but I like women with hats. I don't know what it is. You know, the black folk, you go among them, all the women have these beautiful hats. Remember that we used to have Easter bonnets? And that famous movie, The Easter Parade. You know, that'd be laughed at today by those who followed us. Well, we have so much reverence today, even in prayers. You hear offered to Daddy. You know? Or, I just want to say, God. That's not the way you approach God. That's just my opinion, you understand? And the opinion of the Bible. We approach God, even though we are now no longer at Mount Sinai, we ought to take heed as to how we deal with God. I believe God has a way of dealing with you and with me, and I don't think I'm in that loop for you. God will deal with you. You don't need to be taking your direction from me in this, except as the scriptures. We honor God with our giving. I don't believe the Bible teaches tithing to the New Testament church. Rather, we are to give sometimes more than that. We are to give as we are blessed. to give. And that's a sign of reverence too. Lost reverence. Man has taken the biblical God and redesigned him to fit his own culture. One thing about Islam, they have not had that. That's not a godly religion, in my judgment. It's satanic. But nevertheless, they know their rules. And they take care of those rules on the spot, don't they? Sad to see that. They outperform Christians in their dedication to their faith. I wish they'd lessen up doing that, but nevertheless, I'd like to see this nation. I don't believe this nation will continue to prosper, to continue to deal with God in the irreverent way in which we do. Self is in control. How disturbing it is to hear that modern worshipers approach the Almighty with a casual nod or a yawn of familiarity. Jeremiah 10, 12 and 13 says, He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom. Brother Allen, you were dealing with wisdom last week. God has established the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His discretion. When He uttereth His voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of His treasures. That's your God. Mine, I pray. And we ought to approach Him in fear. Next to last verse in Ecclesiastes, the whole commandment of God is what? Fear God and keep His commandments. Lost reverence all for biblical God. Exodus 33, 6 and 7 says, And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle which was without the camp. They were to bathe, cleanse themselves, keep themselves from their wives, and approach God carefully. Do we do that today? Well, I've had conversations with certain individuals, I'll not name, about prayer. For one thing, I believe prayer, public prayer, as taught in scriptures, is not the, as Brother Sonny Powell, some people confuse prayer with preaching. And they preach a prayer. We are taught by Him in a few simple verses how to approach Him. Now, I believe those are categories that we should address, not necessarily by those words. But nevertheless, when we come to the flaming God that was approached, that was looked upon by those 2 million people at Mount Sinai, is the same God today. The same day, tomorrow, and forever. Today we have an explosion of words. We're bombarded with so many words that words have lost their significance. Words today are plastic and can be molded to fit any individual's purpose. Do you remember this line? It depends what is means. What is. Moses took the tabernacle, pitched it outside the camp, cleansed themselves, prepared themselves, And then they couldn't even touch the mountain. They were not allowed, like you are, to touch the mount now that we have before us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible studies, many places have given way to support groups, classes on practical topics such as parenting or coping with stress. Mankind is left without certainty of faith, confounded in practice, and miserable in idolatry. Well, Bill, if you have an opinion, just out with it. I just did. Thank you for your attention. I call your attention to this because it's a biblical subject. Our nation needs to turn and understand that they cannot treat God wrong as they are treating Him. Thank you for your kind attention.
As I would like to speak to you this morning about the fear of God. That's what it is. What he spoke to us about. And so listen, Brother Bill, this is your this is what you said here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The entirety of all that he said and all that's written here. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Not just, this is the entirety of our responsibility to you, to God, and to each other. Now, but he gives a little postscript after that. We don't hardly ever read that 14th verse. But it says, for God, now this is the reason, the motivation for what he said, fear. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Think about that. The lack of reverence. You think, I can just do about anything I want. Well, the result is, if you do that, there is consequences for our actions. And he says, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, how many of us think we can hide something from the Lord? Let me see him. Is there any place we can go that God cannot find us? You see, he is omnipresent. He's not only omnipresent, he is omniscient, meaning all-knowing. And he is omnipotent, which means all power. So when we talk about the reverence of God, and I appreciate very much the wonderful subject that's been introduced or brought to us this morning, because as Brother Bill said, I tried to speak on wisdom last week in Oxford, and I tell you, it is one of the most elusive subjects that I can find in the Bible, because it is so broad. I mentioned there to the folks there that the word wisdom is in the now this is my concordance. 222 times the word wisdom is mentioned in the Bible. Now, I'm going to go there. That's a good one. 22 and 20, but in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, wisdom is 53 times. You say, well, you need, why I need to know? Because I want you to understand how important this subject is. And we have the wisdom of Solomon. We read about that on Wednesday night. About the queen of Sheba as she came, and she was marveled at the wisdom that she had heard about Solomon. And so she decided to go and investigate that. And when she had, after she had been there and come back, she said, the half had not been told unto me. But you've heard about the wisdom of Solomon. But as the scripture says, Jesus says, yeah, it's a great thing, the wisdom of Solomon, but behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon. So when we think about wisdom and understanding. And Brother Bill wanted me to go to Job 28, but it says, was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that God considered a very wise man. And in the last chapter of the book of Job, if you have your scriptures, turn there with me for a moment. I'm going to begin in verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? That's the question. Where are we going to find wisdom? Now, we talked about the fear of God. Well, what does that mean? That the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. So when we talk about fear, does that mean that we tremble that we're talking here about a stark fear? Brother Bill defined the term as reverence. Reverence. It means honoring, giving respect, recognizing the great omnipotence, the great power of God and what He is and all that He's done for us all of the things that we have as a blessing because of Him. And it means reverence. It means honor. It means respect. That's what it means to fear God. But notice Job asked the question, where is wisdom? Now, wisdom, we could define wisdom biblically from the standpoint of I've tried to put my finger on the definition of that word, but we'll look at just before I go back to Job, I want to read you what Proverbs 9, and we'll get there in just a second. Proverbs chapter 9, it says, verse 9 and 10, give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. What's a wise man? Well, what is the opposite of a wise man? A fool. And you know what the fool says? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You see, if there's a person here that could live in this universe, in this world, and say there is no God, that man is very unwise. He is a fool. And that's why he says, give instruction to a wise man, and he shall yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord, that's Brother Bill's subject, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, the respect of God, the honor of God, is the beginning of wisdom. When we come to the point where we have a fear which is inside of us, which gives us, and it does cause us to tremble sometimes, but it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One. The knowledge of the Holy One. Do you know God? Do you understand who God is? Well, if you do, then you are way beyond the average people in the world, because there's a lot of folks in this world, and there's a bunch of people in the world, multitudes of millions of people in this world, that do not recognize Jehovah as God. Brother Bill talked about some of those. There is a group of people that believe that there is a God that wants to destroy all Christians and all Jews. And whether or not we want to admit it, or whether the leaders of our country will admit it, we are at war with Islam. Now, take that or not, but the world is full of evil, and there is lots of people that do not. The very smallest child here. If you believe this morning that Jehovah God, I'm talking about the God of the universe, the one that created everything that we have. If you believe that He is God, then you are a wise man. Wise person. Because you see over in Romans 3:18, talking about these people that do not know God, that do not love God, that hate God, he says, Brother John, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear God. Therefore, they don't believe in God. So to fear God is to understand God. To fear God as he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One. The knowledge of the Holy One. Now, how do we get that knowledge? But Bill, God, this is the whole point of 1 Corinthians. He said, the Apostle Paul said, I didn't come here with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, all of the things that I've learned in the schools of Gamaliel and all of the schools of the world, he said, I count them as dung that I may win Christ. Those things don't mean anything to me. I did not learn to love God. I did not learn to understand God. I did not have wisdom from the knowledge of the world. But he says, the things that I have learned, I learned from him. They come down from God. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So he says, there's a great benefit in reverencing and fearing God. There's a great benefit to that. Not only personally, but as a church, individually, and as a nation. As a nation. God said, if you forget me, he said, the nation that forgets God, I will turn them into hell. Now see, so it's important that we not only as an individual and as a church give reverence to God, it's also important that we as a nation understand. This nation was founded upon Judeo and Christian principles. And they all go back to that Mount Sinai where that brother talked about the Ten Commandments. They're all over the Washington, D.C. In God we trust. In God we trust. Up over where the Supreme Court made their great decision to disannul God's law. What a hypocrisy we have in our country today to have in God we trust, yet disannul the laws of God by their court. Now, I don't want to get Bill Kemper stirred up, but that brother, he knows where we are as a nation, and it bothers him greatly, and it should us. If you don't believe me, look at go to his website sometime. You won't know very long. You say, Brother Bill said, just tell me what your opinion is. You want to know what Bill Kemper's opinion is about these things? Just go read his website or his emails and stuff. And I'm with you, brother. Now notice, here's the benefit. The benefit of what Brother Bill talked to us about. For by me, thy days shall be multiplied. By me who? By me who? By wisdom. By me, wisdom. By me, wisdom. Wisdom is personified in this ninth chapter and in the eighth chapter of Proverbs. That personified means that all that we have, see, the Apostle Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians, he said, he hath made unto us wisdom. God made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Is there any glory? Do I deserve any glory? No, not any. Does Apostle Paul deserve any glory? No, not any. But all the glory, all the honor, all the respect, all the reverence belongs to our God. It says, for by me wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. That's pretty good, isn't it? He said, if you fear God and keep his commandments, and that's what wisdom is, then length of days is going to be added to you. And if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou shalt bear it. Brother Bill, you shall bear it. If you scorn, you shall bear it. Now, that's pretty plain, isn't it? He said, going back to Job's 28. Job was looking for this. Where do I find? And I challenge you to give you to, there's a, you can go to Webster's. and find yourself a definition about what wisdom is. But it doesn't fit the scriptures entirely. I mean, where shall we find wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof. If we knew what the real price of what Brother Bill was talking about is, the fear of God and reverence of God, if you really knew what the real price of it was, we might seek it more. He said, a man does not know the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth, that's the sea, it says, it's not in me. Oh, wisdom's not in me. The sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten with gold and silver. You cannot buy this. You know, it'd be wonderful if we just go down to the store like faith sometimes. They go down to the store of faith and buy us a little faith. Well, the same price that you pay for faith, you'd have to pay for wisdom. But you don't have enough money to buy any. Because he says, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. I'm speaking here, brothers and sisters, of the most gracious commodity that you and I have. And that is to believe that in the universe, first of all, of God of the universe, and believe that he is the creator God. And if you understand just that much, you have been given wisdom. You see, because the fool, those that don't have wisdom, they say, there's no God. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx of sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be of jewels or gold. I mean, we want to get all the gold we can, Brother Bill, and we can be really, really, really rich. You know, there's a man running for president that says, "I'm the richest. I'm really rich." He is really rich, but all of the money that man has can't buy one little smidgen of wisdom that I'm speaking about. Godly wisdom. Reverence for his creator. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is what? Above rubies. Pretty good, isn't it? The topaz. And it says, wherein, verse 20, whereinst then cometh wisdom? Where do we get it? We don't have to go very far to find the answer to that question. First of all, you cannot understand. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Everything that I'm telling you this morning cannot be melted and poured into these people that do not believe it. But when we have been given the spiritual understanding, when we've been born of the Spirit of God, we have been given the knowledge. It is innate. It is that which is put inside of us to believe in this God. So we have the beginning of wisdom, Brother Bill, because it's given to us as a gift. Fear, reverence of God. Whoa, isn't that good? Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? See? It is hid from the eyes of the living. That's what, I mean, it's very, like I said, it's very elusive. I challenge you to read all this. I mean, 220 times the word wisdom's in the Bible. You're going to be there a while, Brother Tom. Just a little while. I tried to read all the ones that's in the New Testament. I got, destruction and death say, destruction and death. We have heard the fame thereof with our ears. We've heard about it. Now, the Queen of Sheba heard about it, but she had not seen or even understood one. She said, "Oh, the wisdom that God had given to this man, the half was not told unto me." God understandeth the way thereof. He's the author of all of it. It comes down from him. It said, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. In him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that we have that is worth anything is a gift from God. And the greatest blessing you have is to understand who he is. God understandeth the way thereof, and God knows the place. He knows where it is. And he said, he that looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. There's people in these theological places up here in the higher learning places that are seeking this wisdom. They're seeking to know it. And they cannot understand the very simple things of God is that God is on his throne and he doesn't change. You know, that just, do you understand that God doesn't change? That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to understand that if you believe that, then you're way above a lot of the folks in the higher educational places. They're teaching people the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of man, and it won't buy you one ounce of love for God. Now then, to make the weight for the winds. Oh, well, that's a weird statement. The wind? How much does the wind weigh? To make the weight for the wind. Did you know what? God knows how much the wind weighs. And weigh the waters in a measure. God can put it, all the waters. You remember this, the song that we sing as little children? It's a wonderful little song because it's got a lot of wisdom. He said, the whole world is in his hands. He has all of the universe in his hands. I think sometimes we just kind of say, oh yeah, I understand that. But do you really? Do you really? Does it resonate with you? If it did, then you would have this reverence for God that the brother spoke about. And I am not, and as Brother Bill said, I'm not here to throw stones on anyone. I'm speaking about me. Then did he see it and declare it. Who did? Job. He saw it and he declared it. He prepared it, yea, and he searched it out. And unto man he said this. Brother Bill, here's the text. Unto man he said this. The fear of God, that is wisdom. The fear of God, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. If you really understand what I'm speaking about here, and you really have a reverential fear of God, then to fear God is to depart, and understanding is to depart from evil. Now I got to quickly sum this up. And so, I felt kind of sorry for those folks up at Oxford because I mean, I just kind of, you know how when you shoot a shotgun, John, at a, you ever see a shotgun? You just get back here and you just go, and you could go out there and you can see, we used to do that on the bar, walls of the barn, but you could sit here and you could shoot a shotgun over here and you'd get pellets all over that wall. Now, that's pretty good, Bill. It kind of gives somebody some idea about how foolish a preacher can be. When he thinks he can preach this subject. I couldn't preach on this subject if I preached every single, the rest of my life. I couldn't finish it. No, I can't. No, you could. I couldn't. you know what I told Brother Keith? I said, I can't do this. I just close the book. That's what one brother said. He said, I'm just going to close the book. But here is Psalms 11. This is my summary. Brother Bill, here's your great, wonderful text. I know you already, I said, don't get Psalms 111:9 because I want to read it. You didn't, so thank you. Notice it says, he sent redemption unto his people. Do you believe in redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ? You see, redemption, he sent it. He sent redemption by his sovereign grace and will. He sent his son to bear in his body our sins. He sent it. He sent redemption unto his people. His people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Do you believe in a covenant? If you believe in the eternal covenant, you must believe that there's something happened before the world began. How in the world can we think about something? Now, it blows your mind, brothers and sisters. If you think about this very long, you'll short circuit your brain, because to think about something that happened before the world began, something that happened before you and I were ever thought about, as old brother Hewlett Bass said, before a wave ever beat on a timely shore, God was in charge of the universe. He sent redemption unto his people. He had commanded his covenant, holy and reverend is his name. Holy. Brother Bill, that kind of goes along with reverence, doesn't it? Holy and reverend. Holy, the holiness of God means the awesomeness of God. We cannot imagine how holy God is. You see, we're unholy, but he's all holiness. And he has made us holy. Did you recognize yourself as holy? Can you say, I am a holy person? You are a holy. Thank you, dear. Look, nobody else will admit it, but they are holy because God hath made you holy. He has sanctified you by his Spirit. You are a saint. Do you believe that? If you believe even one smidgen of that, brothers and sisters, you have great wisdom, because it says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And notice the next point, Brother Bill, the fear of the Lord. He comes right after that and talks about wisdom. You see, if we believe that God sent his Son, and we believe that he is in charge of this entire world, then do we owe him anything? Do we owe him our honor? Do we owe him our respect? And that's what the word reverend, now reverence, Brother Bill, I appreciate the thought there about reverence. But the word reverend is in the Bible one time, right here. And it has absolutely nothing to do with man, except the fact that you're the recipient of it. But when he talks about reverend, there's a lot of men that rob God. Can I emphasize that? There's a lot of men that rob God by taking this word reverend and putting it in front of their name. There is only one reverend, and it's our Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do, Brother Bill, D-O, that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. You know, and he starts these Psalms, Brother John. You appreciate this. I know you already know this. But it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, if we come down here and say, he sent redemption unto his people, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the word, you look over in your reverence, in your center reference, the word praise the Lord means hallelujah. We could say hallelujah. That means in every language of the world, hallelujah. Everybody understands that. It means praise Jehovah. Not praise Allah, excuse me, but praise Jehovah. Praise the eternal covenant, the covenant keeping, self-sufficient, all powerful, eternal God. Hallelujah. Can you say that with me? Just go ahead. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful sound? Praise the Lord. Don't be ashamed to say hallelujah. Because the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. He's on the throne, and he deserves our honor and praise.